we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast today. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I'm filling in today for the original host, which is Bob Arthurs. No. Happy Labor Day to you. I hope you're having a great day off and you're enjoying the prolonged weekend. You know, everybody deserves some rest, and I'm so thankful that God knows what our bodies needed. You realize you need a Sabbath rest. You need a Sabbath rest spiritually. You need a Sabbath rest physically. You need a chance just to spend time with God and allow Him to refresh you. You are a better you when you spend time with God. And so we pray that you are having a great day. We want to start off by letting you know it's cooling off out there, and a lot of times that's a great time to be doing some outdoor renovations. If you need any concrete work, or maybe you're considering doing an addition on your house and you need some block work done, or 536-5804 is Jits Concrete. A few weeks ago on Facebook, there was a listener that had liked our Facebook page, and so their messages were showing up on my wall, and they said, does anybody out there, they just put it out there for all of their friends, do any of y'all know an AC company? And I was able to recommend Wyrick Air. It was down in Melbourne. That's the company that we have dealt with. They do all sorts of great work throughout all of Brevard County. And their phone number, 632-9538. And I said, this is the one of the sponsors of the Refresh Radio broadcast. And a little bit later, they posted and they said, does anybody know a roofing company? And I do know some roofing companies, and I was able to recommend Lewis Barnhart Roofing down in Melbourne, Florida. They are a sponsor of WMIE 91.5 FM. They have done the roof at our church, on our fellowship hall. They did great, great work. Their customer service was excellent. And so those are the types of things that we recommend, people that we know, people that we trust, and people who are going to operate in integrity. So hopefully, if you're listening today, that maybe you're listening on the podcast version, which would be broadcasting on Tuesday, we just encourage you to do business with people who represent Jesus well. So thank you for tuning in. We do want to remind you, this coming Saturday is day number one. It is the day where we are measuring feet, taking names, and determining how many pairs of shoes that we need to buy to bless our school kids. Like I've told you before, there's a lot of people that do backpack giveaways, a lot of people who do school shoe giveaways. We did a teacher appreciation day. We did that one year. The next year, three other churches, larger churches, had decided that they were going to do it. They did it better than we did. We looked for something that we couldn't find anybody else doing, and that was school shoes. And so the first year that we did it, there was a little girl walking down the street, and we said, hey, would you like, we had an extra pair, and we said, would you like a free pair of school shoes? Well, she did. Actually, they left. They came back. She had a great time, but her school shoes didn't fit, and she was very, very upset because her school shoes didn't fit. And so we got those exchanged, and all that was great. A little while later, that would have been in August that year. In November, we did our Thanksgiving basket giveaway. We had a few extra baskets. We found this house, knocked on the door, and it was the mother of that child. And so we want to make sure that the shoes get the right size, whether they're male or female. Want to get them that fit. But our real purpose in this is walking in love and ministering to our kids. And so Day one, we're measuring, we're taking names, we're finding out what style of shoe and things like that. On the 18th, we're going to be giving those away. It's going to be a joint service in our sanctuary, kids and adults worshiping alike. Yes, worshiping the King of Kings is a multi-generational event. So that's what's going to be going on that day. And so we want you to put that on your calendar. So this, where college football began last weekend, this coming weekend is NFL football season. And so if you don't like college but you like pros, your day is coming. I want to take you today to back to Isaiah chapter 36. Isaiah chapter 36. We spent most of last week in Isaiah 35. And before I can share with you what all was going on in Isaiah 36, I need to take you back to 2 Kings chapter 18. There are a lot of people who are under a misconception that if you are worshiping Jesus, if you're doing everything right, that you are never going to experience spiritual attack. I want you to know that's not true. And I'm going to take you back to 2 Kings chapter 18. The king who is on the throne of the nation of Judah in Isaiah 36 is Hezekiah. So I want you to listen to the description of what the Bible has to say about Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord, he did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him, he prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory from watchtower to fortified city. During Hezekiah's reign, they also celebrated the Passover like they had not done during all of the other kings in Israel. Even David did not celebrate the Passover the way that Hezekiah commanded Israel to do it. And so Hezekiah was a godly king. He was not just a... Listen, a lot of times we silo things and say, okay, spiritual stays spiritual, political stays political, socioeconomic stays there, military stays there. But I want you to know that when God is living in your heart and ruling and reigning and counseling you, that no matter what enemy you face, you are going to have wisdom, you are going to have success, and you are going to have excellence. Now, while Hezekiah was on the throne, Assyria, the king of Assyria, came down and he conquered the 10 northern tribes known as Israel, or referred to many times as Ephraim. It was the 10 northern tribes. You can read in 2 Kings chapter 18. The reason that they were defeated was because they had abandoned God. They had chosen to worship the idols. They set up idols at the very beginning of the separation of Israel from Judah, and they never got away from that. They never got away from that. And so they eventually went into captivity because at some point in time, God had said, I am going to take my hands back and I'm not going to compel you to serve me the way that it would be in your best interest to serve me. You can look at it, 2 Kings chapter 18, and let's see if I can find it for you here real quick. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, this verse 16, and made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshiped all the host of heaven and served Baal. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. I believe that that is a key element, that whenever children are an inconvenience and sacrificed, I believe that that goes directly to the heart of God, and it is not something that he smiles on. I don't care what a politician tells you. He frowns upon you taking children's lives, whether that's through murder or abortion, whatever it might be, abusing children. I believe that that is one of the quickest paths to getting you on God's really bad side. His, you will experience his wrath. Okay. It says that if you make one of these little ones to stumble, it's not good for you. There are a lot of options and none of them are good. It's the worst option you can imagine is better than what you can imagine God's going to do to vindicate those young people. So I encourage you, you know, cherish those kids as a gift from God. Recognize that they are purposefully divinely placed in your life so that you can form them and fashion them to go forward and make impact. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, and he removed them from their sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. And so that was what was going on. Assyria was used by God to come and displace Israel because of their spiritual disobedience. The king of Assyria went beyond that. He then attacked the nation of Judah. He marched all the way up to Jerusalem, and Hezekiah had tried a strategy. You can read this in 2 Kings chapter 18, of negotiating with this terrorist, the king of Assyria. He tried to bribe him. He tried to pay him off. And the king of Assyria, their armies withdrew because of the ransom that had been paid. I want to tell you this: never negotiate with a terrorist. Never negotiate with a blackmailer. They are always going to demand a higher price. Okay, that is the reality of it. So don't ever do that. And instead, we're going to look at Isaiah 36 and 37. We're going to see how Hezekiah dealt with it and what God did. So a lot of times I'm dealing with doctrinal issues. Right now we're still going through Isaiah, but we're going to show practical application of what happens when the enemy attacks in your life. Sometimes it's good to see just a real life nuts and bolts application of what the principles of God's word are. So in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that would have made him 39 years old, that the king of Assyria came up against him, and Hezekiah had done some infrastructure. He had built an aqueduct, because in those days, the way that you waged war was you cut off the food supply and you cut off the water supply. And Hezekiah had built an aqueduct so that they would have water even when they were under siege. And so in verse number 4, the commander of the army begins to speak. And he said, "Then the Rabshakeh said to them, 'Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. Now in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar'? Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen. Have I now come up against the Lord, against this land, to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. So we're going to stop reading there. I don't know if we'll get much further than that today. But this spokesperson asks a very interesting question. What confidence is this in which you trust? What are you trusting in today? During this time of year, every 2 years and every 4 years, politicians come and they say, put your trust in me. The parties say, put your trust in this party. Businesses will tell you, put your trust in us, that if we come to your community, you can count on economic blessing. And so I want to ask you today, who do you have your trust in? In whom are you trusting? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's what the scripture says. I ran across an interesting story recently of a boss, and he was taking an employee and their spouse out to dinner. And as they were walking, the boss saw a penny and he reached down and he picked up the penny, and it was a dirty penny, and the man's wife was, I can't believe this guy who's worth all of this money would stop down and pick up this penny. And so they went on, they had their discussion, and finally at the end of the meal, the wife had said, you know, why did you do that? Why did you reach down and pick up that penny? You've got so much money. In fact, you just tipped more than that on the bill. And he said, well, on that penny there's something very interesting that's written. And she said, the United States of America? No. E Pluribus Unum? No. Kept going on, and it's and finally got down to in God we trust. And he said, that coin is a reminder to me that I can only trust in God. And I will not ignore any messenger who reminds me to trust in God. So today I want to ask you, are you trusting in your youth? It will flee. Are you trusting in your beauty, your looks? I'm telling you, you can have plastic surgery done. You can buy your hair color in a bottle. You can try and dress young. You can spend all sorts of money trying to look young, but I'm here to tell you, your body will sooner or later show evidence. And I will tell you this, nobody does as good a skin work as God does. He's able to renew your youth like the eagles. So don't trust in your youth. You might be making loads of money, but I can tell you of conversations that I had with people who were doing very well. They were living quite well, and yet they were living over their means, and it became quite a struggle for them. And they didn't realize until it was gone that you couldn't trust in your paycheck. In whom are you trusting? Are you trusting in your great intellect? Are you trusting in your oratory skill? Or your giftings? What is it that you are trusting in? Because the king of Assyria came and he challenged them on what they were trusting. He says, you say you speak of having plans and power for war, but there are mere words. I want you to know that when I was preparing for this message, as I was studying this, it reminded me of the taunts of Goliath. Assyria was not just any old enemy that had shown up at Judah's doorstep. They were the most powerful nation on the earth at the time. They were more powerful than Babylon. Babylon was just beginning to ascend to power, and here Assyria was. They were ruthless. There's a reason why Jonah didn't want to go and preach in Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. But when he did, the king repented, and all of the people of Nineveh repented. And God did a work there. But, you know, we may make our plans, but it is God that brings them to pass. And so I want to ask you, who do you trust? And the king of Assyria says, now, in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now, I want you to know that if you are not a God-appointed leader over a people, that it is not rebellion to withstand you and to oppose you. And so, I believe that I have a teaching on submission and rebellion. I didn't learn it from anybody. It was just something that God dropped into my spirit. And, you know, it identifies what rebellion is and what rebellion isn't. As long as I am under God's proper chain of command and those in authority over me are in the proper chain of command, then I'm not in rebellion. If the person over me rebels against God, that doesn't mean that if I stay put that I'm in rebellion against them. They're the ones that are out of whack. John Calvin said that if those in authority over us rebel against God's word and God's plan, we are under no obligation to them. And so I just want to speak to you and encourage you to if somebody claims authority over you, ask for their credentials. Just because they're a bully doesn't mean that they have authority over you. Okay? That's what terrorists do. They try and inspire terror. And they try and get you to capitulate to them simply because they are more powerful. I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes because God, the God that you serve, the God that you know, the Savior who died upon the cross for you, he is more powerful than they. And I would rather perish in faithful obedience to God than I would to live in rebellion to him and under somebody else's domination. Remember that it is Satan's desire to enslave you, to keep you in bondage, to keep you discouraged. And so I just ask you to remember as you're contemplating your options this year, God, where would you have me to place my vote? Where would you have me to place my vote? How can I, listen, I don't know the people who are listening, but I can tell you this. I don't believe that God wants you on a fixed income. I believe that God gives you the ability to produce wealth, and God doesn't want you coming week after week with your hand out and poor, pitiful, you know, please, sir, can I have some more? That's not the mindset that God intends for his children. The psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen their seed begging bread. And I want to encourage you, God wants to give you the ability to produce wealth. I don't care if you are retired and on Social Security. God can give you creative ideas. He can make you a blessing at work. He can cause you to have job openings that come up even in your older years. God can bless you. God wants to be our source of dependency. He says, look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed Egypt. He says, if you lean on Egypt, it's going to pierce your hand. And so I hope that you have found by now that trusting in people, trusting in other people, can be a most disappointing experience. And so you can't just trust in your confidence. You can't even trust in your plans per se. You can't trust against or trust other people. And he says in verse number 7, but if you say, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? The answer to that is no, it's not the same God. It's not the same God. We trust in the Lord our God. We trust in the God of the Bible. And I know that society wants to say this God is the same as that God, but there was only one God who laid aside his glory and humbled himself. There was only one God who came and dwelt among men for their benefit and not for their plunder. There was only one God who offered himself up on the cross as a sacrifice for sins. There is only one God who death could not keep its grip on. There is only one God who ascended to the right hand of the Father. There is only one God who ever liveth to make intercession for you and me, that we would live and not die, that we would succeed and not fail. There is only one God who is making preparation for us, for me, for you, for those who have yet to name the name of Jesus Christ. There is only one God who is preparing that they will be with him forever. There's only one God that says there's a time coming where I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to take you, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't care if you're dead or if you're alive. I'm coming, and nothing's going to prevent me from taking you to be with me forever. There is only one God who said, I will represent you before the Heavenly Father, and I will pay the price for your sin, and his name is Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved but the name of Jesus. If it's all the same to you, I will not trust in an inferior God. I will not trust in greed. I will not trust in an idol made out of stone or wood. I will not trust in an idol that is made out of any sort of commodity, any metal. I will not trust in a God that I had to make. I will trust in the God who made me, who perfects me, who redeems me, who calls me his own. I will trust in him. And if it's all right with you, please, you know, don't be insulted. He's not like any other God. Our rock is not like any other rock. That's who I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust him even when I live right and the enemy comes to attack. I'm going to trust him no matter what happens economically, what happens politically. I'm not going to trust any other God. Whatever comes to pass, I have come too far, trusted him too much, seen his faithfulness for too many years to allow some sort of adversity to try and dissuade me from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you have found that he is faithful and true. God, today, may the name of Jesus do great and mighty things on behalf of your people. Lord, today we put our faith and trust in you. In good times and in times of adversity, you are our Lord and our Savior. God bless you. You have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a
sound.